The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Hello, welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host, audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serda. The Chiefs wrap up their week of practice ahead of Sunday night's matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On Friday, we heard from head coach Andy Reid, defensive end Frank Clark. I promise you want to make sure you listen to Frank Clark's press conference, and then tight end Travis Kelce. We'll go in that order with Andy Reid, followed by Frank Clark. After that, we'll take a quick timeout. Then when we get back, we'll wrap things up with Travis Kelce. Here's Andy Reid.
Did not practice today. And then Kando is sick. So... and then we'll see how Bucker does going down here the road. Everybody else went out to practice. Ronald Jones was back after being sick. Look forward to the challenge of playing the Bucks. Good football team, well coached. I mean, Todd does a heck of a job, and not only working with the defense but also as a head coach. So time's yours with him. Yeah, we'll just see how he does here.
The plan is to have him kick before the game.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how all that goes. Herbie, yeah.
You mentioned Todd and Tampa. Did they look any different, really? Or he just kind of kept it rolling? Has he put his fingerprints on that team yet?
Well, I think, he put his fingerprints on it before that. So, I mean, he had, obviously, with that defense. So, I've been around him. And I've mentioned before, he's one of the best interviews I've ever had. And I think he's a heck of a football coach. So I'm sure he's put his mark on that team. All right, guys. Thank you.
Trent Spikes came in here and said you had one of your best games in a long time. The last one, I wondered what you saw in yourself.
Someone that needs to continue to improve, just continue to get better day in and day out. I don't never look at things. It's still early in the season. I never look at it and, I don't look at myself and evaluate myself, this early on and say, what can I do better, what I'm doing great, It's all like one of those head down things, We took a loss last week, so, of course I'm being more critical on myself than, the normal person would when you win, but at the end of the day, that's what it's about. You can sit back all day and tell yourself how good you are at certain things, but people don't want to look at themselves in the mirror and say what they need to work on. So it's still improvement, all around. I feel like I need to do so I can help my team win the game,
Speaking about the line as a whole, how much better do you guys feel maybe as a unit this year than you did maybe toward the end of last year?
I feel like we feel real good. When you look at it, guys are playing well together. We're meshing well. It's a newer group. We're missing a few other guys from the last 4 years where I've been here. But it's a good group. We got our rookie, George. He's filling in, doing his job, just trying to figure it out. Like I said before, when you're a rookie coming in, the league is a mystery to you. Every player, the players, the conference, you don't really understand that. So you're trying to grasp all of those things. So, hats off to him for continuing to show up to work and, put forth his best effort. And as a whole, we just going to continue to improve. I feel like we're showing some spurts to, a team that wants to stop the run. I feel like, past two games, really, we've shown that, we really want to rush that pass when we get the opportunity. You got guys. It's great watching Carlos, on his road to 100 sacks. Watching Chris break 50, watching, you know, our interior guys step up. You got Colin Saunders, has one of the guys we don't really talk about a lot, but, you know, underdog. He had one of his best games, probably his best game of his career last week. And, you know, like I said, we lost, so a lot of that goes under the rug, and you get swept under the rug how good some of these guys have played. But him, along with some of our young DBs, 3-5, he's continued to impress. And some of, you know, the guys in the back end, nobody's not talking about how good Juan's been playing, you know, and filling in for the role, you know, in the secondary with Tyron being gone. So it's a lot of good things happening. But like I said, it's still early. So it's nothing to talk about right now. Kind of got our heads down chopping wood still, you know.
Frank, it seemed like a couple of things you did Sunday, it really showed sort of an extra tier of strength, and maybe it was leverage, but I mean, are you feeling a different sense of strength and ability to drive people back?
I just always play with, like you said, it's not really, I don't believe in this whole strength thing. The strongest player on the field wins. Like, it's always technique. I've always, you know, prided myself on being technical with a lot of things. You know, of course, in football, when you know, you get injured, you deal with certain injuries, you know, it's going to limit certain things. So, you know, over the course of a few years, of course, you know, I can't do certain things because, like, hurt my elbow or hurt my arm, or it's like, this pinched nerve is bothering me, so I can't extend like I want to. But, you know, of course, you know, that goes away, you know, years of work. That's why I have the off season. That's why I got, you know, a great medical staff here. I have a great, you know, team outside of work who works on my body and get me back to, you know, prime physique. So strength, I wouldn't call it that. I call it technique. Just knowing my coach coached me to do, and just getting back, you know, playing greedy, you know, getting greedy.
Technique and really health in a way maybe you haven't fully felt for a couple of years.
Yeah, feel good, man. I'm running, legs feel good. You know, my head's in the right place, and I'm having fun. You know, just wish we would have got the win, but, you know, that happens.
Frank, you've had your moments with Tom Brady mm-hmm. in the past. You know, it seems like every time you guys play him, it's like, could this be the last time? And I just wonder for you just how you want to approach Tom this time, given all those previous experiences for this game.
Yeah, I know. It seems like every time we're about to play this man, it's like, yeah, it could be the last time you play him, you know? It's like 4 years later, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this dude never seems to amaze me. He has this whole big thing. He's like leaving football. It's like everybody shouting him out. Then it's like, yeah, I'm coming back. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, come on, you know, give somebody else a chance. But no, for real, man, you know, hats off to Tom. He's still doing it. 45, I believe, 44 years old. He's still doing it, man. I can only imagine what his kids and his wife is thinking right now. Like, you know, just, but, man, been playing them for a minute now, you know, dates back to Seattle, but just being here, you know, that's kind of, it's kind of one of those games. Man, Chris was talking about it earlier in the week, you know, where going back to when we lost to him in the Super Bowl, you know what I mean, it kind of put a sour taste in our mouth from that point, and I believe it's the first time we'll get to see him since then. So, you know, it's a lot of things that we want to do this time around to execute and go ahead and get the job done. Although, you know, it's not the Super Bowl. You know, we 2 years removed from that. It's about execution. You know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. It's still only Friday. You know, we got 2 days to game time and the whole day to wait to the night. But you plan arguably, you know, the best quarterback to play this game, you know, one of the best players to play this game ever. So everything defensively, you know, we got to be on key. He's going to understand every check. He's going to understand every coverage. He's going to understand every blitz. If you show as a linebacker, if you show as a DB coming on the edge, he's going to understand. He's going to check with his tackles, cut the end off. If you're an end and you show that you're dropping in coverage, he's going to understand that he might check to a run. It's going to be a lot of that, you know, going on. So it's going to be one of those technical games where, you know, keys are important. You know, paying attention to the man in front of you, keying the hip. And, you know, playing, you know, technically sound, you know, hands and eyes and feet. If you do those things, you know, you got to trust your ability to get the job done.
Frank, what did Chris say to get that penalty the other day?
Man, you know, I'm riding with my dogs right or wrong. You know, I got to ride with my dogs right or wrong, man. I don't really know what he said. If you remember the play, if you watch me, I was, like, looking, then I, like, turned away, ran off, then turned back around, and I'm like, it's a flag on the ground? You know what I mean? And then, of course, it is what it is. But it was one of those things where it's like, dang, man, I know myself. If y'all know me, you know, I say a lot of crazy stuff out there. I got a terrible mouth, you know. Refs, they warn me a lot. This year they've been warning me a lot. They haven't threw the flag yet. So, you know, I pray to God it doesn't happen to me, if you know what I mean. But I'm thankful, man. You know, I look, man, it's been a rough year for Frank for the last two. I've been on this streak of doing the right thing and just staying out the way. You know, so I knocked on the wood because I don't want it to come down on me. You know, I don't want these refs to switch sides and, you know, all of a sudden throw the flag on me. But you know how it is, man. Guys getting emotions of the game and the game is running and you know, it was one of those close games, man. We playing a good quarterback and Matt Ryan, and you know, he's driving down. You know, he's making all the right plays. Their team is making the right plays, and you know, it's a moment of frustration. We've all been there.
Is it important to know what that line is, though? Because I was talking to Chris yesterday, and he didn't quite have clarity yet on exactly what you can and can't say. You obviously have been warned a few times. Do you know what the line is?
Yeah, I know. I know what the line is. You know, I mean, and I honestly, everyone's different. You know, Chris. I this might be the first one he's gotten. I mean, Chris usually go get a personal foul for hitting a quarterback or something like that, not for, you know, talking. You know, you got to understand the line. You know what league we in today. It's 2022. It's not 2020. It's not 2015 no more. It's not the 90s. You can't run around calling nobody nothing. You can't call them the B word, the A word, the S word. You can barely say, you know what I mean? You can barely say hell on the field nowadays without the ref telling you you're wrong. But, you know, you just got to – you just got to go out there and play a solid, fundamental, Christian-like game. Protect yourself, too, you know, because it's still live bullets out there, if you know what I mean. But yeah, it's crazy, man. You just you got to know the line, though. You got to know the limit. You got to know this is a billion-dollar industry. We're professionals at the end of the day, and we have a job to do, you know. And first is, you know, protecting the integrity of the team and the locker room and our profession. And but then again, it's playing it safe and, you know, a fair game and, you know, keeping it safe in a nice environment for everybody. You know what I mean?
You talk about getting those warnings from the referees before they penalize you. Was Chris warned? Do you know?
Nah, he wasn't warned at all. No, I can say that he wasn't warned at all. It was one of those things where the ref, you can tell, as you seen the ref, he like ran up. It was the ref, it was Chris, and it was Matt. That's all. And you can tell in the moment the ref ran up and he heard whatever Chris said, he reached for the flag and threw it. It wasn't a second thought about it. You know what I mean? It was the ref knows what Chris said. And Chris knows and Matt knows. So that's all that matters. You know, we got to get with Matt. I'm going to get with Matt and see. Yeah. With Matty Ice. Still got to holler at him.
Even if you're not willing to share, do you know what he said then?
Man, you know, man, look, man. Am I surprised? I'm surprised it was a flag because it's like, man, come on, bro. You know, in our sport, you know, it's all type of stuff said. Most guys are talking because you're talking trash. That's the actual thing in football. You know, you can talk trash. You're supposed to be allowed to talk trash. But I mean, like you said, but at some point, if you do cross the line, you know, you got to be able to be a stand-up guy about it, except, you know, what's going on, whether it's a penalty, whether they, you lost the game. Nah, we all lost the damn game. You know what I mean? We understand that. So once you understand that, you know what I mean, everything's going to be fine. But, yeah, you know, Chris, my guy, you know, we talk about a lot of things. But, you know, I'm not going to be the one to sit here and say I know what he said. I'm not going to be the one to sit here and say I don't know. But I know one thing for sure. I know one thing for sure. We'll never know.
Let's do last two.
We'll never know.
You mentioned the line, okay, and you mentioned you've received warnings. How much do you think that there was a quarterback involved that kind of like tightened up the line of what you can and can't say?
You said the quarterback?
Yeah, because there was a quarterback involved in this.
Well, thing about these quarterbacks, you're asking the guy who's kind of biased about this one, but the thing about these quarterbacks, they tend to do things. They're kind of like that little brother, you know, or sister. You know, you're not doing nothing as the big bro or whatever, and then they come in like, yeah. You know, when your parents come around, they get louder. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're bothering me. You know what I mean? But then when they're away, it's like, yeah, F you. You know what I mean? It's one of those type of things going on with the quarterbacks. You know, it's usually one of those. You know, they're kind of sneaky. They slide. They kind of, you know, are the trophy child of the family. So, you know, people don't usually look at them as the ones that's doing bad and stuff, you know. But, you know, these quarterbacks are something else. You got to watch them. You got to watch them. Yeah, a lot of them. A lot of them.
Pivot a little bit here. You and George have had a special relationship since training camp. Like, what have you learned about George over these past couple months?
I honestly have learned how great of a guy he is. You know what I mean? Some of these guys, they come in, you don't you pick their brain. You spend all year sometimes picking their brain. You never know where they are. You know, you don't understand what type of player they are, their life at home, you know, where they come from, why they even want to play football. You know, like, what's really your goal in this? And George has done nothing but, you know, show why he wants to do this, show why, you know, this is important to him. You know, he loves football. You know, I always play with him. I'm like, man, dang, dude, you're going to run into a wall watching film, bro. Like, he's walking around the building with his head down all the time, you know, because he just wants to get better. And, you know, it reminds me of me. When I'm younger, I'm coming in, I got, like, six dudes, like, you know what I mean, like, all pro. I'm like, wow, like, and I'm studying everything they're doing. And it's, like, something to pick up off each one. And you can tell he's doing that. You know, one second he's in my ear bothering me to death, and it's like, dude, go on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to go home now. You know what I mean? I've been here all day. He's still asking me football questions. You know, it's like 8 at night. And but then, you know, it's dope because I've never had that. I mentioned that before. For the first time, this is the first time my career has been like that. You know, I've never had a rookie challenge me as a veteran or as an older guy and tell, you know, ask me the hard questions and ask me, like, yo, what's up, bro? How did you do this to get better? You know, stuff I'm like thinking, like, damn, I ain't have to answer this. So it's like, I got to really formulate an answer for this and really think about, you know, and stuff. But I thank him for that because I would have never experienced it if I didn't have him come in, the type of person he is, how eager he is to learn, how eager he is to get better. And I would have never experienced that. So, you know, that's how I feel about my guy.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much. Appreciate y'all, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Travis. Obviously, it was disappointing the way everything kind of went up there in Indianapolis. How important is it to get that bad taste out of your mouth and maybe get up to a good start this time?
Honestly, I haven't thought about it since Monday, brother. It's in the past now. You learn from it. You know what you got to clean up. And you just approach this week like we have. You know, with the intention to detail, the focus, the effort, showing guys around you that that it matters to you and that we're going to get this thing fixed, and sure enough, that's what
we
did.
Have you seen those kind of good things this week?
1,000%. Yeah, it's been a good week.
Yeah, why was it important to you to put out that tweet about that play?
I mean, that's why we have a platform. That's why we have that, you know, social media to use our advantage. And, I mean, I was disappointed in myself. That I'm sure you could sense that from the tweet. It's just I put a lot into how much I care about what I put out there on the field. You know, I think about this thing 24/7, 365. So it's just I put a lot of pride on myself to be able to make those plays, and sure enough, I got confident I'll make the next one.
Travis, you talk about how it was a good week of practice. In your experience, does that usually translate to Sunday?
1,000%, every single time.
Travis, when you come out of that, not to harp on it too much, but do you find yourself thinking more about that than things you did well in the game? I mean, is that the thing that sticks with you?
Every single film session I go into, I think of what did I do wrong, whether we win or lose. I got to keep fixing and keep raising the ceiling for me personally so that I can be accountable for everybody else.
Thanks,
Travis, Frank was in here before you came in, and he was talking about trash talking as part of football.
Yeah.
But then he also mentioned that every now and then he will get warned before he crosses a line. In your experience, how often have you been warned before crossing a line or you got close to it?
I've always just crossed it. So I learned not to cross it.
Has that line moved since you came in the league? It seems like
1,000%.
Is that good or bad?
I mean, the league's trying to do something, make it a, you know, I'm not going to comment too much on that. The league's trying to do the right thing. We're all trying to, you know, make the game better. I don't think that necessarily makes it better. I think it, yeah, I just think that we, as overall, the league has to do a better job of managing situations like that, for sure. And relaying that to the refs. I'm not blaming the refs for anything. You know what I mean? Obviously, it comes from up top in the shield somewhere. So.
Well, it's different refs each game, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to know like who's calling balls and strikes, as it were. When another league kind of thing, I don't know if you were watching last night. Russ or Tua got concussed. It looked like,
yeah.
And he was hurt in the game before, and the union has kind of stepped up about this. You're someone who's been concussed and not come back in a game. Where are we right now as a league between the players' union and the team and what the players want to do? How do you find that line about trusting everyone and doing the right thing?
It's a tough line to, you know, to walk. It is. And I was you're referring to the 2017 Titans game when I got knocked out of the game. Went into halftime thinking that I was just fine. Wanted to go back out there. But, obviously hope that Tua is doing okay now. But it's a scary scene. The last thing I would ever want is for my family and friends to see me have to get carted off a field like that after a head injury. I felt bad for him. There's a lot of morale that, you know, sunk to the floor when we saw Tua go through that. So it's just, you know, obviously, like I said, the league's trying to change this game for the better, trying to make it for the better. I know that at the end of the day, even though Titans came back and won the game that I got knocked out of, I still wish I could have been out there with my teammates. That's for damn sure.
That was before there was the independent person on the sidelines, right?
No. That might have been the first couple of years of the first year.
Right.
But, yeah.
And so you want to go back and play. What's it like for them to tell you you can't? I mean, you're going through that.
Honestly, it was just a lot of frustration, man. Knowing I couldn't go back out there and help the team.
Travis, on short yard situations, you guys use the tight end so much. I just wonder, from your vantage point, what you and the rest of the Titans can do. Maybe better in those situations?
We got a really athletic group, physical group, and the two young guys, I can't even really call them young because they play like vets, man. They understand the game, they understand the offense, and they understand the intentions of the play caller and what Pat likes. It's a fun group to be a part of. Jody and Noah have been, you know, progressing so much since they've been here. I get excited when I see those guys have success out there on the field. And anytime we can go three tight end sets, I think we got the advantage.
You obviously experienced the highest high, won the championship, but when you guys go back to Tampa, that was obviously the last place where you guys were in the Super Bowl. I just wonder what you can take from that game and how much of that can be maybe added motivation.
A lot of similar players. The defensive coordinator is the same. We know that they're a great defense. That's you know that you're going to be in there for a dogfight and what happened last time. So we got to start fast and finish even better.
Travis, and coming off games like that, typically when Patrick plays the same team that he did lose to in a game like that, he does really well. I'm wondering sense something from him.
Think the more reps that 1-5 gets, the better he gets. He's very calculated, but he also plays the game free. And that being said, you know, he's doing his homework. He's trying to find out new ways to beat everybody. And especially, you know, when we aren't at our best, you know, the following episode where we play a team again, you know, he seems to be a little bit more on cue with what the defense is trying to do to stop him.
Thanks, Travis.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Sorry about the wait.